bubble. The nothing personal word of the day is bubble, as in the NBA bubble. And we are lucky. It's a Samson sit down with Joe Vardon, who is in the bubble as we speak in Orlando, the successful Orlando bubble. Joe, thank you so much for being here.
Happy to join you.
I hope you're doing well. I understand you just got back from a run. Do you have to run inside the bubble?
Yes, you do. There's a big loop that surrounds the Coronado Springs Resort, where the whole NBA operation plus 17 teams are staying, and we can run in a big circle around that. You just can't go out onto the road, you know, where like out where Disney World is. Once you do that, then you are out of the bubble.
So as part of being in the working with the Athletic, I've read all of your articles. Do you have to be in shape? Is that why you're running, or are you a runner?
I am a runner. And in addition to that, these days are so long, David, and there's so much to do. And I've had trouble saying no to these games. So I need that, you know, 45 minutes, hour, just to kind of clear my head and stay active, keep your blood warm. Because that's the other thing is that, yes, we're in Central Florida. Yes, it's 93 degrees here every day. The humidity is ridiculous, but inside these arenas, it is freezing. Like we all have on hoodies and we all have on jackets. The coaches are wearing long sleeves. You can see them on the bench. Like it's so cold in there. So that hour run is my time in the sun here for the most part.
So I am a runner as well, and training. I live in Florida. Where do you live, Joe?
West side of Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, so you are now learning to run in Florida. When you get back to Cleveland, you will be able to run forever. If your body gets used to running in humidity, it's a life changer. It's painful and difficult, and you will lose weight. Make sure you hydrate. But that said, when you get back and when it's in the 50s and 60s, when I do marathons, you can basically just run forever.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, looking forward to that.
So the reason why it's so cold, I was just thinking, about David Letterman, who is famous for keeping his studio freezing cold because he doesn't want to sweat. And I do the same thing because I'm a sweater. And the truth is the games, they're like in studios. The arenas have become studios because there's no fans and they look like the games are in a studio, almost like a video game. Is that the feeling you have when you're at a game? How strange is it for you to be at a game inside the bubble?
It's really not strange anymore. And even the fake noise that they're pumping in, I guess in a way it lulls you into that sense of security. Like the sounds I'm hearing maybe aren't quite as loud as I'm used to. You know, in normal times, but it's fine now. Like, you know, I'm used to the video boards, you know, I'm used to sort of the intimacy of the game. Just kind of being in there with those guys. I think the only jarring part is when you are watching the game and you're hearing the noises pumped in and everything feels normal. And then you look to your left, and you see where the crowd is or would be. And it's like eight people. It's sitting in chairs 12 feet apart, all staring at their phones or quietly watching these games behind the mask. And that is the part that's still jarring. Like, I watch a play, like I'll watch a LeBron or Russ Westbrook, and they'll make a play, and then they are very much into looking out into the crowd, and they still do it, except now, who are they looking at? I mean, the one guy sitting in the chair, are they looking at the video board behind them? You know, that's the part that's weird.
So tell me how it happened. Did you get a call from someone at the Athletic, or how did you get asked to go into the bubble? Was it a tough decision for you to go into the bubble? How long are you going to be there? Tell me how that process works. I think people are really interested in that.
Well, there's a lot there. I had no hesitation to do this. We knew that at some point they were going to have a restart to the season. And as the details slowly came in as to what maybe that would look like, there were conversations ongoing for weeks, maybe even months about the idea of, well, who would go, who wants to go. And I just, you know, I was a yes, regardless of what the setup was, no matter what and for how long. You know, I think there's a couple things to it. I like the feel of a daily grind. And, it, you know, I like covering large, like, expansive events. You know, I went to with Team USA to China last year for FIBA. I was supposed to go to the Olympics. So I liked the idea of the event. And then, you know, my job here as a national NBA writer is to go to the big things. And this is the biggest thing ever. And I just felt like this was a piece of not only sports history, but American history. And an incredibly crucial assignment, you know, I think. I mean, because this is much larger than just finishing a season with $1 billion at stake. I mean, it is absolutely a social and scientific experiment with the potential for great success or catastrophic failure, you know, obviously because people can die from COVID. So, you know, there was a lot riding on this. I was always a yes. As it turns out, I'm going to be here through the end of the first round of the playoffs. So nearly a 2 month stay, and then a colleague will come in for the end. So, you know, I'm trying to write every day, which I haven't missed a day in weeks. I think there was one day at the end of quarantine where I took a break, a 1 day break, but otherwise, I've written every day and I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to chronicle everything I see and hear and what it's like inside this bubble. And now we're in a basketball season and we're in a race for the eighth playoff spot. So a lot to get to.
So when you're in the bubble, I was just thinking, I'm picturing the Truman Show. Did you ever see that movie?
Of course.
So I'm picturing, it's one of my favorite movies and I love movies. I'm picturing the Truman Show because I've been to Orlando. I've done the Dopey and the Goofy and all sorts of races. And I've taken the kids to Disney World, et cetera. So I'm picturing an empty Disney World with a city where all you see whenever you go out are basketball players. Is that, do you see basketball players just walking around wherever you are?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it was like, I mean, taking you all the way back to maybe my first full day out of quarantine, I was sitting there eating lunch outside. Maybe it was an early dinner and it was in between practices. There was a number of practices, here at this gym or at this location, and I'm sitting there and I know that there are a bunch of referees next to me, and then the next thing I see is Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, come out and he sees the refs and he says, "All your drinks are on me. I'm buying all your drinks tonight." You know, every day I see whole teams walking from practice to breakfast or from practice to lunch or just kind of, you know, heading off for drinks at night. Although I'm not really here at night anymore, so I shouldn't say that anymore, but I know that it happens. You know, you'll see LeBron walking around here with Anthony Davis, usually like KCP and Dion, for the Lakers. You know, you see the Raptors walking around, the Heat. I see Brad Stevens all the time. In the mornings, I see Eric Spoelstra. He's walking. You know, for a while, Ty Lue and the Clippers assistants would go for runs. And I haven't seen Ty out there in about 2 weeks. I want to know why. He said he pulled a hamstring. So, but yeah, so that's kind of the crazy thing is that at this resort, you know, the seven teams are in this tower, but it's still on our property or on the property, with the media and all the TV crews and all of NBA security and NBA front office and the referees and on and on and on. And so we're all kind of crammed in here together.
Do you have to wear ID? So, I mean, I know the players know who you are, but is there sort of a unwritten rule that when you see players walking around or working out that you don't approach them or you don't want to interview them or they don't talk? How does it work? Because I would think that you'd be able to get unique insight and the blurred line of what's on the record versus off the record inside a bubble may become difficult for you because you may be seeing things that people would be definitely interested in, but you would never have seen them but for the fact that you are in a bubble. How are you and your editors dealing with that?
That it really hasn't been difficult. It really hasn't. I mean, I've been, you know, been in this league a long time. You know, spent a lot of time like on the LeBron beat. And so I'm used to like the highest of high profile athletes and sort of, you know, how to cover them as humans. And, you know, I mean, first of all, it's part of the rules that you're not supposed to interview anybody outside of the designated areas. But beyond that, you just don't want to. That's not going to help you trying to surprise somebody here on their way to go get an apple. You know, you say hi to the people that you know, and it's a little bit more difficult because we're all wearing masks. And, you know, even players that you've known for years, sometimes, like, it's hard to tell who they are, like, if you can only see their eyes and vice versa. So that hasn't been an issue. I mean, I've used what I see that I know is all right to kind of color the presentation of what I'm writing. And, you know, I've written about late nights of wine drinking here with the players. But, I mean, that's because they told me about it. Like, it's not something that I would have seen, and I couldn't see it. Because where they're actually hanging out and actually partying, like, I can't go and can't even really see. So, but even if I could, that's just that part isn't the job. And you just have to kind of keep that in mind.
Are you eating Disney food every single day at 3 meals a day?
Each.
Have you had like a breakfast with the characters yet?
I have not. You know, they just started cooking for us, you know, almost right away. As soon as the players started screaming about the food, they totally changed the presentation for them. And they were having buffet style cooked meals with somebody serving it to them, one person behind plexiglass using real plates. So everything kind of turned around. And for us, for a couple weeks, they didn't do that. Well, they've changed it, and now we have the same general food prep that they do, which everybody's happy about except for me, because for some reason, like, I'm about a month and a half into trying to go, you know, plant-based. And there were all kinds of options, every day when they were pre-packaging our food and just kind of leaving it in a hot cooler or a hot container or a cooler. And I was eating well, was very happy about it. And then now that they're cooking, it feels like my options have diminished. So, everybody else is happy about the food change and I'm upset. You can order from restaurants. But it costs extra, and the Athletic is part of it's the fee that it paid to get into the bubble. Covers 3 square meals. And generally, like I said, I like the food. And so, I haven't bothered ordering from anywhere else.
I'm picturing Lloyd Bridges in the movie Airplane, where he said, I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. I'm wondering if you chose the wrong time to go plant-based, because Disney, I keep picturing LeBron walking around eating one of those huge turkey legs and then stopping and getting that sugar donut-y circular crap that people can eat at Disney. Any of that, like, are any of the, like, do you get pancakes that are in the shape of Mickey?
No, you don't get any of that. The one thing is the iconic chocolate and chocolate ear, vanilla face Mickey ice cream bar is inside the bubble. It's there in the lunchroom there at Wide World of Sports. So that part is there. Otherwise, no, there are no Mickey waffles. I have not seen any turkey legs. I have not seen the Cronut, which, of course, you are referring to. No Dole Whips. My sister has asked me if I could have those delivered to my room. As far as I know, I cannot. So,
are people trading pins? Are there pins available?
No, I think people are probably trading masks. The NBA provided a bunch of really cool-looking cloth masks. And they have different patterns on them, all have the Jerry West logo on the side. And so I think that's probably the unit of trade. That or wine.
So it sounds like everyone is behaving, and it has been incredibly successful. And I spent 18 years in baseball, and MLB is having a hard time. And I understand trying to have a season without a bubble, but and why MLB couldn't have a bubble. And I think Adam Silver has been a leader, and I've talked about it on the show quite a bit, thinking about how he put this together, and it seems to be working. The one thing that I spent a little bit of time on the show, and I need to ask you about, have you either called or manned the snitch line yet?
No, I, you know what? No. The answer to that is no. And certainly somebody could call me out too. As far as I know, nobody has. There's always going to be times where you're walking around with a drink in your hands and thinking that you don't need to have that mask on. And that's, you know, that's against the rules. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say about this. Like, they, by and large, there's 1,500 people here. You see masks all day, every day, everywhere. The players are way better at it than I thought they would be. You know, you're talking, I don't know, 18, 19 hours a day, pretty much where you're out. Not a whole lot of sleep going on. And I mean, maybe you're seeing people in masks for all but one of those hours. So, everybody here is being tested each and every day. I think hygiene is way up considering what this event could be. And, so I'm feeling pretty good so far about the rules. We'll see what happens as we start to get into this next week, and teams start to realize they aren't going to make the playoffs, how they feel about finishing out the schedule and following the rules. And like, I think that's when maybe the next possible security breach could be, if there is one.
So you're being tested every day as well?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Each and every day.
And is it, how does that work? Is it the nasal or the saliva?
Both. Neither one is bad. It's a two swab test. They tickle your throat and then they just kind of bump around your nose. There's no brain touchers.
So this is part of your routine then, because if you're getting it every day, I don't know, you run every day and then is there a time? Do you get slotted so you have to put it in your calendar? How does that work for the testing?
So you just have to get it done by the end of the day, which I can't remember if it's 11 o'clock. I think you have to get it done by 11 o'clock at night. And if you don't, then you land yourself in quarantine until you get another negative test. So, you know, you just got to remember to do it. I mean, I do it pretty much midday, usually. That's pretty much my time.
Does the Athletic fine you if you don't get tested every day the way the NBA is going to fine its players?
I mean, certainly there's a list of finable offenses that the Athletic could use on me, but no, I think they would give me at least a 1 day slide. I told you I haven't taken a day off yet, so you know, I'll just.
So
say,
I want to switch gears for 1 second, because one of the biggest issues in 2020, there's been two that I would say. COVID is one, and all of the social unrest that has taken place that the NBA has certainly been a leader from an industry standpoint, and it's been a little bumpy in terms of the anthem, in terms of social justice statements on the uniforms. You know, we had down here in Miami a lot of talk about Jimmy Butler, who wanted no name on his jersey and they didn't know what it would be. And then he came out and his name was on his jersey. They asked him, he said, "I don't know. I never heard back. I don't care. I'm going to play basketball." Have you been able to speak to players? Because one of the concerns that I had with the social justice statements on the uniforms is the pressure that is on players to either A, choose the right one, B, choose one, period, C, explain it to people like you, to explain it to people like us, explain it to the media, why I chose what I chose, why I didn't choose anything. Has that been articulated by players when you've been around them, or when you've been either during interviews or just seen them, or is that something that I'm blowing out of proportion as an issue?
Well, I mean, it's a persistent, prevailing topic of discussion for the players. You know, they will discuss it. You know, the general idea of racial injustice, seeking social justice, those are things that they will bring up on their own, even if they are not asked. I think the hot button topic for some media when they are covering this is whether or not you kneel for the anthem. You know, I don't know about the names on the back of the jerseys. I mean, it's certainly like I look at them, but I don't know. I don't know what kind of impact that's having, on the general population. I don't even know if the broadcasts are still showing the protests before the game with the kneeling, because the teams are still kneeling for the national anthem, but I don't know if they're seeing it. So, you know, I think They've certainly are. They certainly have brought attention where they wanted to, and they will continue to try. And then the next thing is, you know, is probably to is I. Well, I guess we'll see. I guess that's not for me to say as to what they do next. But you know, they are certainly saying their piece, and now it's the probably the next thing will be more of an activist role.
Right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to talk about LeBron for a minute because we had LeBron here in Miami, obviously, and it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's keep going with titles and the beginning of the big three. And I think a lot about him and the pressure he's under, not just to win on the court, but the leadership that he now wants to show off the court. They're not, and obviously it's, I'm thinking about Michael Jordan, who was my nemesis as a Knicks fan in the 90s. And I'm thinking the difference and the different tack that they've taken, where LeBron is using his platform in a way that Michael did not, and the impact that has. And when I speak to players over my years and talk about issues like this, obviously we never had to deal with anything like this. Maybe we should have, but we never did. I'm wondering, you know, you've been with LeBron a long time. He looks to me tired, and the playoffs haven't even started yet. And I know he's got pressure to win. He wants to catch Kobe and Michael in terms of rings, and he wants to get his fourth, asterisk or no asterisk, which I don't think this will be. He's got to get through the playoffs. Are you noticing what I'm feeling about LeBron when you speak to him, when you see him? Does he seem tired to you?
Oh, no. I had the exact opposite feeling with him during training camp here and in the scrimmage games. I thought he was playing with I thought he was really playing with energy. I thought he looked fast and playing well, in a good mood. And then you're right. You certainly are right. In these three games so far, as of this taping, he's back to step slow, which is actually how I thought he looked at the beginning of the season, you know, however many years ago that feels like. His first couple games weren't good. He wasn't very good on opening night against the Clippers back in October. Same thing here, even though they won the game. So I think he's, I mean, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he will find his rhythm and find his gear. It's been a long time since he's been in the playoffs for him. I mean, it's been since June of 2018, his last year in Cleveland. But I think to your broader point, there is a little bit of fatigue for him. Being as old as he is, he's 35 now, he'll be 36, but this is his 17th year. And this year, obviously, has been a tremendous strain on just about everybody on the planet, sure. But within the Laker kingdom there, I mean, they were almost political prisoners in China for a week and then came home. And LeBron said the wrong thing, and so now they had all these problems. And then Kobe dies, and it's a total just bomb within the whole organization that in ways they're still recovering from. You have the general pressure of being the Lakers and trying to win on the fly with a new coach, with Anthony Davis there for the first time, and then role players who don't necessarily fit. And then this pandemic hits. So, I mean, that, you know, for somebody who's already been to 9 finals, 1-3, 1-4 MVPs, like it's kind of answered every question, been at the forefront of the social justice movement in the NBA, opened his own school in Akron. Like, that's a lot. And I do wonder, I really do, to what degree what's happening now in this kind of whole, as this unfolds, like what impact that'll have on the end of his career, and even if it cuts it short.
I'm exhausted just with the list you just gave. And I'm thinking back to October when the season started. It feels like 10 years ago to me. So I can imagine. And, you know, what's interesting about this playoffs, and I just want to touch on this before we go, the Bucks and the Lakers and their home court advantage, the NBA, different in MLB, but with NBA, home court advantage matters. Do you sense that the music that's played and the cheering and the way they're trying to manufacture the noise in certain ways, is there actually a home court advantage for this NBA playoffs?
You know, I'm not sure. And even when you ask them, like whatever they say, I don't know that the answer could be right. Like what I can tell you is they try to mirror or at least make similar the game presentation for whomever is the home team. The PA announcer, you know, goes nuts for the team who's supposed to be the home team and is very monotone for the one that's not. The music presentation is the same. So the horns that they play are the same. So like when the Raptors are at home, like you recognize their music and you recognize what you hear and how loud it is in there. Or when the Clippers play, it's the same. Like Boston, it's the same stuff. So, you know, so you could maybe say, oh, like this reminds me of being home, but there's nothing that can replace like the energy of a Laker crowd at Staples or a Celtics crowd at the Garden. You just can't. So I think the ultimate answer is no, but the NBA tried.
You know, they put the logos on the court for the home team. I just feel as though that there's going to be some surprises in the playoffs, and I think it hurts the Bucks and Lakers more than any other team. So just to end, because Joe, I know it's you got to get back to John Travolta and get back with the bubble, but I need to ask. So give me your pick. Who's going to win the NBA Finals in a season where it's almost impossible to predict and there's almost no chance you can get it right? And I'm putting you on the spot in such a horrible way, but let's have it. Who do you have?
Well, I don't mind answering this because I've probably answered it three different ways already and feel terrible about those answers. So today I'm going to say the Raptors. I think the Raptors come out of the two seed and they win it all.
That would be one of the great stories of all time, to lose Kawhi Leonard and then win again. It would be like the Nationals winning the World Series after losing Bryce Harper.
Pretty much. That's
which means it can happen. Well, Joe, I want to thank you so much for your time. Please stay safe, keep running, and embrace the humidity, because I want to hear back from you when you get back to Cleveland and realize that your 2 months in the bubble completely changed your cardio life.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Thanks, Joe.